For those of you who do catch up online with this class, and if you access it through Torah Media Atlanta, you should be aware that Yisrael Killian, who runs Torah Media Atlanta, reached out because donations to that site are down. For those of you who do take advantage of it, I would suggest making a donation online when you do use it so that he can continue that site.
Welcome, everyone. This week is the Haftorah for Parshas Korach. And it's always interesting how some weeks the Haftorah just strikes you right away. It's like it's so clear what it refers to. So, for example, last week the Haftorah was the spies, the Parsha was the spies. Or 2 weeks ago the Haftorah was about Shimshon, who was a Nazir, and the Torah portion was about a Nazir. So it's like, you can tell right away. And then you have other parshas which take a little work to figure out why this is the Haftorah for this week. And what's interesting is that once you explore it that way, you'll come up with different opinions. And so it becomes, well, is this the main reason or is that the main reason? And so it's a little bit of a challenge here to see why this was chosen. The basic reason, I would say, like the one that's most commonly given, is that Korach challenged the leadership. He wanted a new order of things. He wanted a new election, so to speak. He felt that he was overlooked, and he wanted a party of the people. It's really very fascinating what he does in the Parsha to try to get control of the Jewish people. And he creates the first example of a machlokus, of a division, of a fight in the Parsha. In the time of the prophets, of the judges, the Shoftim, there was a leadership, and the community was run by Shmuel, and the people came to him and said they wanted a change. And so then we went to, instead of having judges, we went to a period of the kings. So in both cases, the people are asking for a change in leadership. And then there's the discussion about the existing leadership. So if you had to say in a nutshell the connection, so that's where you connect it. But it's not so, it's not something that we would have looked at and said right away, but that's the common answer that's given why we read this Haftorah, is that just like the verses that sound the most common, we'll see in a second, is that Moshe Rabbeinu, when he talks to Hashem, he mentions the fact that as a leader, he never took anything for himself personally. In other words, you complain about a leader when they are corrupt, when they're in it for themselves. But somebody like Moshe Rabbeinu, who, day and night was working for the people, it was important for him to, the Torah kind of gives us clear that he never took anything for himself. And Shmuel Hanavi also, it was that way. And so in that way, there's just a common theme of Jewish leadership, that people who are selflessly giving them of themselves for others, and they don't see it as a position to enrich themselves. In fact, the opposite. They didn't want to. They gave from themselves. They did things that should have been reimbursed. They didn't cover. They did it on their own. That would be one major reason why this Torah portion is Haftorah is read. The other one is also fascinating, and that is that Shmuel was a descendant of Korach. The whole parsha is about Korach. Shmuel is a direct in the family line from Korach. And according to many people, one of the reasons that Korach goofed was that he saw that from his children would come great people. And he figured that if he challenged Moshe Rabbeinu, the fact that his children would become great people meant that there were great things destined for him. And he didn't know, actually, when the earth was swallowing up his whole family, that some of his children did teshuvah, and they grabbed on the cliff, and they pulled themselves out. And he goofed. It's just interesting. But Shmuel was the descendant of Korach, was descended from Korach. You wouldn't guess it. There's a lesson that if Korach could go up against Moshe Rabbeinu, now, if he was just a garbage collector, was just a simple person, how could anybody compete with Moshe Rabbeinu? It was because he was a great person that he could put himself up there and win people on his side against Moshe Rabbeinu. He was a great person and he had great potential. For various reasons, without going too much into it, didn't work. But it's just interesting how the Korach is a descendant, Shmuel is a descendant of Korach. But let's take a look. But Yomer Shmuel takes us into the times of the judges. There were big advantages to the judges, and the main advantage was there were no taxes, meaning that there was no government to pay for. When you have a government and a king and an administration, you have to have taxes to pay for it, and you have to have a standing army. And there's so much of what we do goes to pay for government, for armies, for infrastructure, and that if you lived in a different kind of environment where that wasn't necessary, life would be a lot easier. That would definitely be so. Throughout the period of the judges, really is amazing when you think about it, because the Jewish people didn't have any leadership, and yet there was no armed robbers, there was no terrorists, it was law and order. They say in the early years in Israel, they didn't have police force in most of the small cities, because they didn't need them. They're all Jews.
I was so dedicated to the country.
Right. And not like on a kibbutz or in the religious side. There was no violent crime. You know, if somebody left something, it could be taken. But there was never any need for having, you know, it was just not necessary. It was, during the period of the judges, it was like that. The people, when something needed to be done, they got together and people volunteered their time either they had an army or they raised an army, but there wasn't a standing government. And then as the nation was there for many years, in the ideal world, they would have wanted a king for the right reasons. There are good reasons to have a leader and to have government. Apparently, though, the most common reason given was all the Gentiles have kings. In other words, we kind of liked it. It seemed kind of cool to have our own king, to have a figure, you know. And so, unfortunately, they asked for a king for the wrong reasons. And you have to understand leaders. Shmuel took it personally, because here he was, you know, many people say like he was a combination of Moshe and Aaron, because not only was he the religious leader, he was also the one who did the service. He ran the service by the altar to Hashem. He brought offerings and he led the people in a religious way, but he also led the people in the civil government, which was very unique to have the same person do both. And we'll learn something else which is really interesting. He made house calls. He traveled from city to city to make sure that in every city there would be justice. And that also, usually people have to go to government. Here, government came to them. He got on his donkey and he schlepped to each little city, and he would spend a day here and a day there. It was like a traveling rabbi and a traveling judge. And he made sure he would make an announcement. He's coming. Does anybody have any complaints? Are there any problems? Is there somebody who felt they were cheated or they were owed something? And he dealt with it. And again, from the leaders, he's one of the all-time best. All leaders are great, but Shmuel Hanavi goes down as one of the greatest leaders. So the people came to him, and they said, "We want a king." And he realized that the people were coming from the wrong place, and he knew that a king wouldn't necessarily be good. But we also have a rule that when somebody wants something bad enough, Hashem leads a person in the way in which they want to go. And so the people were pleading with him and saying, "We want a king, we want to be like the nations." So he spoke to Hashem, communicated with him that he would give them a king. And the first king, Shaul, was anointed. And in the beginning, when they anointed Shaul, some people, you know, they took a look at him and said, "You have anybody else?" we don't like him. You know, has anybody ever been unanimous? You know, does anybody ever, everybody loves him? That's not our way. We have different opinions, we have different people. And so the initial inauguration of Shaul didn't work out so well. So we have a rule that if something doesn't work once, you could try it again. It's not set in stone. And he felt that since the initial, that's just funny. I hate to talk about politics, but the Hillary Clinton, they say that her rollout didn't go as planned, and so she did a new rollout. You know, she started over again, like, you know, introduce herself to the, because, you know, well, it's still early in the season. It didn't, you know, when you start off, you create a momentum. And so if right away you start off and then the momentum goes down, so they just, they called it a re-roll, I forgot what they call it, re-roll out or something, or the, that was in the news on the weekend. But so the idea, though, that you could do something again if the first time wasn't great is not a bad idea. In other words, if it didn't go across the, it didn't make the right impression, it didn't work, so let's do it again. The greatest example of that would be the tablets, the Ten Commandments. They were given a second time. Because the first time, if you remember, they were doing the golden calf, and they Moshe Rabbeinu broke them, and so they were given again. So things can be done a second time. We get a second. So Vayomer Shmuel el Am. Shmuel said to the people, "Let's go to Gilgal, v'niskara shama mlucha, and let's do it again. Let's reinvigorate the kingdom. If it's done right in the beginning, if it's set up right, then it'll work." V'yelko kolama Gilgal, and all the people came to Gilgal. V'yimilichu sham eshol lifnei Hashem. Now, Shaul, by the way, had won a victory for them. When they first met him, it's very hard to say, you know, he's our king, we're going to give our lives for him, we're going to listen to him. They had no, once he led them in battle and he defeated an enemy, now the people were willing to recognize him as their king. So the people came and they anointed him in front of Hashem in Gilgal. Vizvu Shem Zvachim, and they brought offerings. It's interesting, they brought shlamim, which are like peace offerings. That was a way of showing that the purpose of government was peace and working together in peace. And everybody was very happy. It was when people come together in the right way, it was a special, it was a unique occasion. And so this revamping or the re-rollout of the kingship of Shaul, they set it up again and they did it again in a better way. Now as the new authority takes power, so the old authority, who was Shmuel, he kind of gives a review of what happened under his administration, so to speak. Vayomer Shmuel, I'll call Yisrael. And Shmuel says to the whole Jewish people, it is interesting, I'm not going to go into it a lot, but in the English, at first it said, Shmuel said to the people, the Am, and now it says he says to Israel. What's the difference between the people, the Am, and to Israel? There is a difference. There is a, in fact, even in the Torah, there's a nuance between when it says ha'am, like the people. Some people say that refers to like the common people or to the rabble, so to speak, or to the. But now he speaks to Kol Yisrael. He speaks to everybody. Hinei shamati b'kolam. He says, "I've heard your voice. L'kol asher amartim li. Whatever you've asked from me, when as a leader, whatever you've asked me to do, I've done. Va'amich alecha melech, and I've made a king on top. I've made you a king." Verse 2, Va'ata Hinei HaMelech. And here he is. He's here. Mishalek Lifneichem. Very important concept in Judaism. The king is a leader. He goes in front of you. He leads the way. He sets the example. That's always the way Jewish leadership is, that he's going in front of you. Sometimes the secular kings, they send the army and they're way back. You know, they don't take any risks. The Jewish king, he leads the way. He's the one who's supposed to, the Jewish leader is supposed to set the example. We always have the one Nachshon ben Aminadav that jumped into the sea. You know, they were waiting for the sea to split. So they didn't just tell the people to go forward. The leader, the head of the tribe, he says, "I'm going in first." And in fact, there were different tribes were fighting for the privilege of who could go in first. But a leader has to set the example, and then the people will follow. So he says, "Here's your king, and he's going to go in front of you." Now, what about me? Vani Zakanti, I'm old. He wasn't that old, by the way. He was only 52. But the Medrash says that he turned white. It's very interesting. We've noticed that in this country, everybody talks about that when people become president, they age in office. There's something about having the burden of leadership that it ages people. It makes them turn white. It does. Shmuel Navi was an example of that. In other words, he turned white, or he said, "Behold, I'm old." Other people say all the traveling that he did is what made him old. There's a third version. Hello. There's a third version that what made him old. It's very interesting. It says that if people have aggravation from their kids, that makes them old. In other words, when their kids aren't acting the way they're supposed to, we find that by Isaac, by Yitzchak, that when Esav caused, you know, that certain aggravation from children, it makes a person, so we have a tradition that his children weren't able to take over the leadership the way he would have liked. If you remember that so therefore he was saying that, you know, he aged. Okay. Veshavti, and I have old and become gray. Ubenei. Now, even though we're going to see that the kids weren't quite the father, but they weren't bad. This is a problem that we have throughout history, that very great, unbelievably great people, it's very hard for their kids to shine. The Rambam was like that. The Rambam's son was an amazing. Had he lived it a few generations later, people would have said he was the greatest rabbi. But because he was the Rambam's son, and the Rambam was amazing, so he just didn't make. You know, compared to the dad, he just wasn't quite the same thing. And many times you have that where I knew of cases like that where you very great people and their sons were not bad, but they just weren't. They didn't stand up to the parents, and so in the shadow of the parents. So you have to look at Shmuel's sons in that way. His father was such an amazing, amazing person, prophet. But his kids, he says, though his kids, they're with you. He said they're with the people. Vani hisalachiv nechem enariat, and he says I've been leading you, and I've been setting the example since I've been a little kid. If you remember, his mother brought him up to the temple as a little child and said, I want him raised in a holy spot. She, all those years she was barren, she promised Hashem, you give me that child, I'm going to give him back to you, I'm going to raise him holy. And she brought him to the temple and she begged the priest to take him. So he said, from when I was a little child, I've been serving Hashem until today. Hineni anu bi neged Hashem. And he says, it's so interesting that it's become more popular, an idea of transparency, more because our government has been very corrupt. So it's important to say, they say they're transparent, but they're really not. But Judaism believes in the concept of transparency. In other words, even if there are people that you trust, it's important for them to open the books up. It's important for them to do things above board, to set the example. And that's what Moshe Rabbeinu does in the Parsha, and that's what Shmuel HaNavi says over here. He said, look, he says, if anybody wants to challenge what I'm saying, let them come forward. You know, try that in a community, in a shul where you have hundreds, thousands of people. And he says, "V'neged Mashicho," and he says, "I'm going to say this and declare this in front of the new king and everybody else." And he now you have to understand, when there's a judge, one person is innocent and one person is guilty. There's always somebody who doesn't like the judge because whoever was guilty is not happy with him and feels he's been wronged. This is very rare not to have an enemy or not to have people that feel that he's done wrong. And he says the following, Eshur mi lakakti, did I ever take anybody's ox? V'chamor, did I ever take anybody's donkey? Did I ever borrow anything? Did I ever benefit in all? Esmi eshakti, have I ever wronged anybody? Esmi ritzosi, I always worry about, you know, we all should worry about that. We deal with people, and sometimes people aren't happy with us. And we hope we're right. We hope we've done the right thing. But, we live in a community. Someone's always going to be unhappy with us for whatever reason. And here he gets up and he says, has anybody ever had a problem with me? Has anybody ever been wronged? Have I ever taken anything? Bad me the kofar, have I ever taken any bribes, any money? Vala mena, have I ever closed my eyes? Somebody asked for help and I closed my eyes, I didn't see them. V'ashiv lechem. And if I owe you anybody money, I'll give it back. So the people declared, V'yomer lo ashachnu lo etzadnu lo chat med yishmuma. One by one, everybody got up and said, no, you haven't taken, you haven't done a thing. It was an amazing ceremony. I mean, any other politician would be afraid to say this, you know, to ask the audience, is there anybody out there that's ever been wronged my whole life? And everybody said unanimously, no, nobody took. V'yomer lehem eid Hashem b'chem ad Mashicho hayom hazeh. This is the way a leader should be. A leader shouldn't seek to take anything from any people. He shouldn't wrong the people. He shouldn't hide his eyes from the people. Ki lo etzem b'yom. So he says, let this be testimony. And everybody says, eid, we'll testify. Vayomer Shmuel. So that's the first part of it, that a leader has to be transparent and that they have to be able to listen to what the people say. If they've wronged somebody, the person should be able to come forward and get justice. Verse 6. Vayomer Shmuel Elaam, Hashem, Asher Oses Moshe Vesaron, Hashem that made Moshe Rabbeinu an Aron. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu was the leader. He led the people in battle. He led the people against Paro. Aaron was the one that led the services in the Beis HaMikdash. He was the one who, when people were fighting with each other, he made peace between them. So Hashem, who made these leaders, Vasher Olo Es Avoseim, and he took your forefathers, Meretz Mitzrayim, from Egypt. Verse 7, V'yati Tzad V'shavteskam. And now we'll stand and we will judge in front of you. Let's think and count all of the good deeds that Hashem, count your blessings, all the things that Hashem has done for you and for your forefathers. This is a good exercise. When something's wrong, we all know it. We all complain about it. You know, we know what's bothering us. But have you ever thought to think about what's not bothering us? You know, you could always find something bothering you, but what's not bothering you? What's right, right? So we should count our blessing. Kasher bo Yaakov Mitzrayim. When Yaakov went to Egypt, Yitzhakov Seichem, and your forefathers called out to Hashem, V'yishak Hashem es Moshe, the people needed leadership. When they were slaves, they were ruled by a foreign nation, and now they needed somebody who would lead them out and who would instruct them. And Hashem sent Moshe and Aaron, V'yotzieso, same as he took them out of Mitzrayim. V'yishivim, and they brought him to this place, to Eretz Yisrael. V'yishku, and it's kind of like a summary of history very quick. And guess what happened? Over time, V'yishku es Hashem, and the people forgot Hashem. They started living in their own country, and they had their own farms. And they forgot about, what is that? What have you done for me lately? That's just the way people think. What have you done for me lately? V'yimkor osam. So Hashem, when people forgot him, so he sent reminders. So it's an expression. It says he sold them into the hand of Sisera, meaning he gave Sisera power over them. So when you sell somebody, that means they're given over. So they were given to Sisera, Chatzur, Biad, Plishtim, Biad, Melech, Moab, Yuchamub, and we fought against them. And these were terrible battles, V'yitzaku El Eshto, we remembered Hashem. V'yomro, and they said, Chatanu, we have sinned. Ki Yazavnu Es Hashem, it's our fault, we rebelled against you. V'navod Es Abalim, and we worshipped the idols. It's very interesting, this one area, I think is it in Syria, or is it in Iraq? It's called Baalbek. It's named after the Baal. One of the cities that they keep talking about with ISIS, maybe it's in Lebanon, Baalbek, but it's named after Baal. That was the idol of the time. So many of these cities, by the way, were named after the ancient idols of the time. So it's just, I always just find it fascinating when you pluck these names of places in Iraq and Syria that were part of our ancient history, you know, of the nations that lived around us. They were talking about the Druze, and many of these peoples were the ancient peoples had their point in history. So the people, they worshipped the Baal. That was the famous idol of the time, V'sa'ashros, V'atatz, the enemy out of Vecha, and you saved us from our enemies, and we will serve you. V'yishlach Hashem, so Hashem. The basic pattern is that when we feel threatened, we need a leader who will save us, who will lead us in war, who will lead us to Hashem. And in every generation, when we were in danger from the various enemies, Hashem sent us leaders that helped us fight these enemies and saved us. And he mentions a few of them. Yishach Hashem is Yerubal. He sent a leader called Yerubal as Badan Ves Yiftach. Badan, by the way, many people say was Shimshon. He was the leader that came from Dan, from the tribe of Dan. So they question why he picked these three. There certainly were other leaders. I mean, he could have mentioned Yeshua. He could have mentioned all kinds of leaders. There were other leaders that could have been gotten mentioned over here. Why did he pick them? So some people say that every generation gets the leader that's right for them. And you really can't compare the leader of a different generation to the leader of this generation, because we're products of our time. And so our leaders are also products of that. We can't say, well, if we had the Vilna Gaon, then we would listen to him, but we only have Rabbi so-and-so, and he's not quite the Vilna Gaon, or he's not quite, but he's the leader who we have in our time. And so he picked, during these times, these particular leaders were not known as being like the top of the line leaders, but they saved the people of that generation in that time. There's kind of an expression that when there is no leader, you be the leader, right? When there's no one around there, basically we trust in Hashem that He sends us the leaders that we need, and that'll be there for us. And so every generation has that. And Veshmu v'yathni saved you from enemy savim. And you were secure. And this kind of gives us an idea that really the leaders are almost unimportant. Hashem will send them. You know, we'll find someone who will lead us, because the real leader is Hashem. You know, our leaders are just puppets. We need Hashem sends us somebody to lead us, but He's really the one behind the scenes. And we just need that person who will lead the way. Verse 12, and recently you saw that this king from Ammon, that was the latest threat. V'tomer lo, ki lo melech yimloch aleinu. And he thought it was a threat that the Jewish people would appoint a leader. And what happened? He got destroyed. Hashem Elokecha Malchakam. Hashem is your real king. V'ata hinei melech asher bachartim. And behold, here's the king that you chose. It's interesting that it says you chose him. There's an idea that the people have to be willing. You can't have a king that forces himself on the people like a dictator. It has to be that the people choose the leader, that they're happy with it. And he's the king, Asher Sha'altam. Now this is very important here. I'm on the page 1187, the second line. Have you ever wondered why King Shaul's name was Shaul? It's right here. Because from the word Sha'altam, because you asked for him. In other words, the word Shaul is a request. You ever heard someone says, I have a request, I have a question, I have a Shaila. The Shaila is a request, a Shaul. I want to ask from you something. So Shaila usually means a question, but if you sometimes it means you want something. I want to be Shaul, I want to borrow something. If you borrow something in Hebrew, a borrower is called a Shaul, like a borrower. So the word Shaul was, he was requested. So then the question is, why is that important that he was requested, or that it was that not that he was Hashem said he was needed, but Hashem was answering our request. Some people say that he was on borrowed time. Shaul was really a tragedy. He was a great person, and he led the Jewish people. He had some accomplishments, but the overall picture was not a great picture. It didn't last very long. Very shortly after he became king, the primary chance to shine would have been the defeat of Amalek, and that didn't work. But his name, Shaul, comes from here, Asher Shaaltem. It's just interesting that he's the king that you asked for. Hashem made him the king. Verse 14. So this is the way it's going to work. In tiru es Hashem, if you fear Hashem, v'avadetem osu, and you serve Hashem, ushimatem bekolo, and you listen to His voice. It's so interesting. Well, if you're serving Him and you're listening, if you're fearing Him and you're serving Him, why do you got to listen to His voice? So many times people will say, you know, like, in theory, you could be a glutton and eat lots of food, and you could get drunk, and you haven't violated anything. You know, if you get drunk in your own house and you pig away and you eat a certain way, it's not forbidden. You could do it on kosher food. You could get drunk on kosher wine and kosher whiskey or whatever. But it's not listening to Hashem's voice. Hashem, there's the commandments, and then there's the voice of the commandments. There's a command to be holy and to do the right thing, and to it's not enough just to do. You know, we have a certain guidebook, we have certain rules, but then there's hearing Hashem's voice. What does Hashem want from us? How are we supposed to behave? How are we supposed to react? That's hearing the voice. So he says, I hear you. I shmat mekolim. Velo tomre, don't rebel us again. Vayisim gam atem gam amelech shemoch lechem achre. And you and your king have to go out after Hashem. Both you and your leadership have to serve Hashem correctly. 15. Ve'im lo tishmu, but if you don't listen to the voice of Hashem, umarisem, and you rebel, So you know what's happening? Vayisiyad Hashem b'chem, then Hashem's hand will be against you and against your forefathers. Gamata isatsu, and you should stand here, Uruas Davar HaGadol Hazeh. See this big thing. This is a commitment that we're doing in front of you. You know, when somebody makes a speech, so you always wonder, what's the person's credentials? How do I know what you're saying is the truth? How do we know? So he's going to make a miracle. He wanted to show the people that that this was everything he was saying was directly from Hashem. So he said the following: Hello, Chatzukitim Ayom. Today is the harvest time. It's the time when they harvest the wheat. Ekrel Hashem, and he calls out to Hashem. Now the way it works in Eretz Yisrael is they plant during the rainy season so that the crops take, and then it stops raining. And basically, once it stops raining, it'll never rain again until the next season. And Eretz Yisrael is like that. Like, we're not used to, we have summer storms. You know, in the middle of summer, it'll start. Eretz Yisrael is not like that. Once the rainy season is over, it's very rare to have rain. Like, you don't have to have a raincoat. You don't have to worry. Like here, you can, in the United States, you always have to have a raincoat close by, because you just never know. It can look perfect day in the morning, and then all of a sudden, it could start raining. But in Eretz Yisrael, once the rainy season is basically over, it's very rare to have rain, or certainly not a lot of rain. So he says, you know, to now it's harvest season, and the rain is long gone. But guess what? Hashem is going to send forth rain, and there'll be thunder. And you should know that Hashem isn't happy with you. Thunder is a good way to, you know, when you hear thunder, it scares you. In other words, the Gemara says that Hashem made thunder to straighten out the crookedness of a person's heart. Like, it means that when a person hears thunder, they wonder if, you know, they worry because they feel the power, and they hope that it doesn't hit them. They hope that Hashem isn't angry at them for anything. So he wanted the people to know that they asked for a king, and Hashem gave in and gave it to them, but it wasn't the ideal circumstances. As we mentioned, that they were imitating the non-Jews. Some people say they wanted a king because it's too hard to serve Hashem, you know. People want to get into, they want to serve a human. There's something to that about serving a human. Maybe it's a little easier. Maybe it's they were looking for a master of flesh and blood. That the Romans, their gods were very human. Their gods were robbers and adulterers and the, you know, the mythology. And they were very comfortable with that, because if their gods and their leaders were human, that meant they could be that way. But when you have to serve Hashem, and your goal is to serve Hashem, so it's hard to be like an angel all the time. It's hard to have, some people would rather have human rulers and human people, because that they feel that it's easier for them. So he says that even though Hashem gave in to your request, he wants you to know that it's not so good. And he's going to bring, you know, it's not the rainy season. You're going to see thunder and lightning, because you shouldn't have asked for a king. It was wrong. You had a king. You had leadership. Everything was good. Sometimes, like, somebody asks for something, and it's really not necessary. It's not needed. That's just looking around, and they see other people have it, so they want it. And he called out to Hashem, and next thing you know, thunder, lightning, rain. Now the people were very afraid. They were afraid of Hashem, and they were afraid of Shmuel. The prophets can be very scary sometimes, you know, like the, you know, in the middle of the, you know, the dry season, all of a sudden he calls out, and the thunder's coming, and verse 19, so now the people were afraid that maybe they get swallowed up or something, you know, like Korach was swallowed up. Like, the sometimes there's demonstrations of nature, and we believe, by the way, that when Hashem sometimes shows anger or shows a demonstration of nature, it's very rare that an individual will have a miracle. So like if a person's like in a tsunami or a tornado, or it's dangerous. You know, a person shouldn't just say, well, I've never done anything wrong, I don't have to worry. You know, it's like at a time of anger, even if a person's in a country or a place and he himself has not done anything wrong, there's the idea that sometimes Hashem punishes a whole country. And if you're in the wrong place in the wrong time, then a person has to worry that maybe it's dangerous for him. And so if a person is ever in an earthquake, which you never have, or a tornado or a tsunami or something, we should daven. we should never say, well, I didn't do anything wrong, why should this happen to me? We have a concept that when Hashem brings the forces of nature out, there's a danger when they come out in a violent way. And so, and this fierce thunderstorm, and he said, Hashem is angry with you. How dare you ask for the king? So the people were really scared. So they said, Shmuel, maybe you can help us. You're close with Hashem. Could you do us a favor? Can you daven to Hashem? V'yispalu ba'adavdecha el Hashem l'kam. Now, by the way, in asking for a leader, they were rejecting Shmuel because he was the leader. He was the king. And they said, well, no, we don't mean you. We want somebody that's going to look royal and is going to have a nice horse and nice clothing and a crown. And Shmuel was like a rabbi or something. They wanted a different kind of leader. And so really, they were rejecting Shmuel. And if you want, you could say that he was being personal over here. I didn't take anybody's ox. I didn't take anybody's donkey. Maybe he was hurt. And that would be reasonable. People get hurt when they if people talk that way. So now they turned to Shmuel and said, please daven for us. Verse 19. Please daven. And we don't want to die. Ki yisaftu al kol chatusenu. We realized we were wrong in asking for a king. So what does Shmuel say? Verse 20. V'yom Shmuel elam altiru. Don't be afraid. Atam asisim es kol rahazos. I know that you've done something wrong, that you asked for a king. But don't be afraid. Just don't turn away from Hashem. And you should serve Hashem with all your heart. Very important that when we serve Hashem, we do it wholeheartedly. Don't just go through the motions. It's a challenge for all of us because we do mitzvahs all the time. We go to shul all the time. We have to try to do it with all, to do it with all of our heart, to put our... that's really what counts, is Hashem wants our heart into it. We get into trouble because sometimes we do things by rote. We just do them automatically. We don't do it with all of our heart. Even though that's what we say in Shema twice a day, because serve Hashem with all of your heart. And so he says, if you do it with all your heart. Velosasur, don't turn away. Ki achre hito asher lo yoyo velo yitzilu. Don't go after false things. Don't go after futile things. Because they won't save you. There's a lot of silly things. Ki lo yitosh, but don't worry. Verse 22. They made this into a song. It's a nice song, nice idea to finish the Haftorah with. We mentioned also that Haftorah is always finished on a nice note, positive note, because Jewish people are always positive. That's the attitude we're supposed to have. We make mistakes. We goof. We're sorry. We have regrets, but we always focus on being positive. He says, "Ki lo yitosh Hashem esamo." Hashem will never reject his people. He doesn't cast his people away. He doesn't throw them away. That's not Hashem. But by the way, the word amo, even if we said it means the before there's Yisrael, which means the Jewish people on a high level, the am means the Jewish people like the masses, the uneducated man. Hashem will never reject his people. Bavur, because of his great name, even if the people don't deserve it. Because of Hashem's great name and that they represent him, ki hoil Hashem lasos eskem lam, because Hashem has promised he will make you for a people, and that's the plan. You don't have to worry. So we have the message of leadership. The real, again, just like Moshe Rabbeinu had his message to the people when Korach rebelled, here the people were rebelling against him, and it's so interesting. Like, he gave in to the people. Because that's what they wanted, and when people want something bad enough, Hashem sometimes says, okay, that's what you want, that's what you're going to get. But even though they goofed, and even though they asked for it incorrectly, they still could serve Hashem, and they still could make the most of it. And that's kind of the message over here. And the message is the greatness of Shmuel as a leader, that he didn't take it personally, and he never saw the leadership as something that he had personal gain in, but he was trying to serve Hashem correctly and lead the people in the right way.
Thank you for listening to Torah Media Atlanta. Won't you consider making a donation to help support this important work? Just go to torahmediaatlanta.com and click on the donate link. Thank you very much.